It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Season 2, Episode 21, the Christmas episode.
Christmas edition.
That's right.
Yeah, ho, ho, ho.
Also, lots of 21s that I really like. Tony?
Yeah. Roberto Clemente.
The best one.
Yeah, I think he's the best 21.
Yeah.
You could argue whether he's the best pirate or not, but he's the best 21.
I think he may be the best right fielder.
Yeah, probably is.
He was great.
Bucks have had some good right fielders.
Yeah, they have.
Dave Parker just recently inducted in the Hall of Fame. Roberto Clemente. That's two pretty good ones right there.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep.
And then you got
dead air.
Prime time.
There you go. Hey, we get you a mic for a reason.
Yeah.
When I point to
we got
you,
this
you talk.
Yeah, new fancy mic setup, yeah, and yeah. Jeff's just like, oh, Jeff's I'm good.
A nosed off.
Yeah, I know. But prime time. I watched
on cold medication.
Deion Sanders.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Coach Prime now, yeah. As they call him. Fixed to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
No, I don't know. Who knows?
I got a question.
If you can get into the Jerry Jones mind,
yeah,
it would be a very scary place, I promise
There's
you
no
that.
Doubt.
I guess I do have a question. Like, why are the Cowboys always on primetime Sunday and Monday nights?
Well, you know? Two or three teams they wear out that you can only be on primetime so many times in, like, two seasons or something that.
Is it because they're America's team?
That's where I was going.
Well, I guess. But
and you can't watch the Steelers.
The Steelers are usually on their maximum, too, of primetime games. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they played three in a row 1 week. So,
pretty good, pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But
Packers usually there.
Yeah. But it was Cowboys, Buccaneers Sunday night?
Last night,
It was.
Yep.
They're not even in the playoffs.
Pretty good ball game. Well, Buccaneers still had a shot.
Oh, they had a shot. Okay.
Yeah, and now they're in a race with the Atlanta Falcons, which tells you a lot about their division.
Gotcha.
That's right.
The Cowboys had a shot until just before kickoff.
That's right.
Yeah.
They lost their shot, so now they play better.
Uh-huh. They'll win out now and save Mike McCarthy's job.
That's right. So we'll have another year of him. Oh, boy. But, you know, a couple of other really great basketball players. Tim Duncan, this amazing basketball player. Dominique Wilkins.
Maybe the best dunker of all time.
Human highlight film.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
And then Peter Forsberg. I'll let you talk about him.
Good hockey player. Plays for the Avalanche.
Yep. Okay.
Colorado Avalanche. Very, very insanely aggressive team. I like their puck play. They're really, really hard to beat, those guys.
Branker had him as the best hockey player in that War 21.
I got a couple I'd like to touch on before we get off of it.
Okay.
You know I try to find a Razorback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going blank again. In the backfield with McFadden, Felix Jones.
Yeah.
Felix Jones
was 21. Felix Jones was 21. So, yep.
And I don't know if y'all know this or not. Probably not. When I was young and playing baseball, I wore 21 all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Just in baseball. And, you know, the reason for that, and I
funny that didn't make Ranker.
I find this interesting.
It just made Rank.
that's what I made of the opposing pitchers, Greg. The funny thing about that is I think a lot of players, you know, younger players, they wear numbers for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was a there was a guy I'm still very good friends with. He's 4 years ahead of me, 4 years older than me, 3 years ahead in school. And he wore 21, and that's why I chose to wear it. And I brought this up. I mean, I know y'all think I'm just rambling. I do that from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, that guy's son also wore number 21, and I didn't actually think of it this morning, but I've got it on my shirt sleeve here. Drew Walston, who we have the memorial tournament for and scholarship fund in Derek's. He was number 21 in baseball.
Great pitcher.
You know, so.
Yeah, Greg and I talked about that very same thing on episode 32 last year, why so many running backs were at 32, and we come up to the conclusion everybody wanted to be Jim Brown.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And kind of a generation ahead of me.
Yeah.
Franco Harris, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
I wore 32 in football.
A lot of great 32s running backs.
O.J. Simpson, great guy.
In guard and tackle wears 32.
Fullback and linebacker, Greg.
Just messing with you. Anything else on 21 before we move on to the Leopards this week?
I don't think so. Let's jump street.
Let's go. Leopards, of course, we talked about their game Monday that they played against the Poland Indians on our last episode. So we're going to talk about the only game they played that we haven't talked about, which would be went to Morrilton Friday night and played against the Devil Dogs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Devil Dogs. I mean, the best part of that trip was the getting to see their arena.
Yeah.
Amazing arena.
Yeah.
How old is it?
I don't know. I don't know how old it is, but the thing about it is, and I love the Leopard Arena, but it has just went out of contention for any kind of state tournament so quickly, and you've got to have such a big size place that of course, Morrilton has that, and a lot of that has to do with their girls. Their girls last year played in the state finals. They lost, but they played in the state finals. But this year, the Lady Leopards went up there, and they beat them 61-32. Led in scoring by Jesse Lyle with 22 points. Just a good all-around effort by them again. We talk about it on the radio all the time, Tony and I do. Defensive pressure just wears people out. It's just relentless. It never stops, and it just wears them out. Don't really know what this means, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Max Preps has the Queen Lady Leopards as ranked fourth overall in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
That's all divisions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now, they're number one in 4A. But what's the most interesting thing about this Max Preps ranking is in 4A. When you look at the 4A teams, there's five of the six 7-4A teams ranked in the top nine. So when we get in conference, it's fixing to be every game. It's going to be tough.
Doesn't that also mean that one really good basketball team's not going to get to the regional?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, the amazing thing about that, them being ranked fourth overall, all classifications, is Lady Razorbacks are ranked eighth.
Interesting.
Overall in the state. Come on, man. See y'all next week.
I thought you were serious for a minute. So.
It's a delayed bomb.
Yeah, it was. I'm sorry. We've been slow all day today.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's like that bomb on Mario Brothers, where you set it and you ran the other way.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. But that's true.
I set that up.
They are pretty bad, but it will. You know, the Lady Leopards take a few days off for Christmas, go to the Berryville tournament. They're going to play three days there, and then conference starts when they get back.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good teams that they're going to be playing in conference. That was my point of bringing all that out. Look at the Leopards. They're now 5-7, and they lost to Morrilton 70-43. They had a kid up there that had just signed with UCA, and he was a real deal.
Hmm.
I mean, dunk, three-pointers. I mean, we did everything we could to stop him, and we couldn't stop him.
Did he even have a receding hairline?
No, not yet.
No.
but he did not have that. But he could do anything. I think he scored 28 points and basically played a half.
Hmm.
So,
the Leopards' defense, they didn't get off to the best of starts.
No.
And against a good team like that, it is important you start well. You can't get, under their thumb to start with, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that's right. And so, Leopards also going to the Berryville Christmas tournament after Christmas there. Going to play from the 26th through the 28th and then go into conference. And, might be a good time, to just mention the fact that we're going to be off for a week. So we'll talk about Christmas tournaments, anything that happened during this Christmas vacation, the first week in January. That's when we'll talk about
January 6th.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, Tony, who you got for the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week this week?
You know, Landry Liggins sometimes gets overlooked a little bit through, you know, all these points and things like that. But she had a great all-around game in the game against Morrilton. We're going to go with Landry.
Okay.
Nice. Great young lady.
Nice.
Landry Liggins going to be our Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
A super solid leopard on the court, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She's kind of... you know, sometimes the glue that kind of puts it all together.
That's right. Yeah. Very cool.
So congratulations to Landry, this week's Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
Well, you guys want to talk about Horatio Lyons?
Let's do that. Tyler, nice of you to mention that.
Thank you very much,
Greg. Yeah, we appreciate that. Lyons, 1-7 overall. They lost to Dirks and Akron in this past week. Lady Lyons, 5-4. Lost to Dirks 54-39, and they lost to Akron 45-37. So tough week for the Lions and Lady Lions both. They're going to play Murfreesboro. That's going to be on the Saturday after Christmas.
Right.
And that's going to be our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week.
Ooh. Right.
So don't forget about that. Horatio versus Murfreesboro, DeQueen Motorsports game of the week.
Might be emotional.
Yeah.
That's on Saturday.
Yeah, it's on Saturday after Christmas, which will be 28th.
Nailed it.
Yeah, 28th. So don't
forget
that.
You're an accountant?
I had to do it with my fingers.
Yeah, he was like,
1, 2, 3, yeah, 4. Yeah. Yeah, but I got it. But anyway, so just want to talk a little bit about a couple of players for the Horatio Lady Lions. Paige Williamson had 14 points in the game against Akron. And Aaliyah Ayers, she had 18 points in the loss to Dirks. And according to our spy that was at the game, Jeff Tuttle, those were 6 3-pointers.
She Excellent. Was unconscious, and none of them drew iron.
Yeah, that's right.
Meaning they were swishes.
Yeah, she never drew iron, right? Yeah.
No, I never seen it rattle around.
Yeah. So, congratulations to Aaliyah Ayers. She's going to be our Horatio State Bank Line Player of the Week this week.
Very cool, man. Before we move on, let's talk about one of our oldest sponsors, DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387.
Vets.
And Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181.
Call nothing.
Call either of those numbers and schedule your appointment today and experience high-quality veterinary services that you've come to expect for the area. Obviously, Dr. Martin is excellent at what he does, but his staff is also very, very wonderful to go in, talk to. They remember you. They remember your pet. And you can just tell they really, really love animals up there. And I actually got a look at what some of the usual flea and tick medication will cost. The stuff I get for every year, once a year for my cats, is so cheap over there, and it works. It's literally one pill each, and it works. It's good. They're good for like 3 months, and I just do that during the heightened flea and tick times. And I've seen other places charging like $70-$80. You know, it was very expensive, or very affordable. Yeah, inexpensive, not cheap, because it worked really well.
No,
at DeQueen Animal Hospital. So I was really thankful for that. In fact, a lot of their medications are very, very affordable.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing about the DeQueen Animal Hospital and also Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, they've got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
All of Southwest Arkansas covered by those two fine establishments, and they, whatever it is, big to small, they're going to take care of them all.
That's right. I also do want to say that they accept credit care, which is a credit care service you can use for yourself or, you know, also your pets, you know. It can be kind of costly every now and then, an emergency visit or anything like that, and they actually accept that, which I have one, and it's been specifically for the pets, so I don't have to, you know, go out of pocket when there's an emergency. I have that ready. So very, very cool that they accept that as well.
Ashdown, so that's like pet Medicaid?
It's like pet Medicaid a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's done through by Synchrony Bank,
Yeah.
And which is a big one, you know, and it's like no interest in that, and it's very cool. And they accept it over at DeQueen Animal Hospital, and I've used it a couple times now. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, they have you covered as well. So all of Southwest Arkansas is covered for your very, very important veterinary needs and services. So we appreciate them for sponsoring this podcast so much, and just appreciate them. So DeQueen Animal Hospital, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, give them a call and schedule your appointment today.
And we have Jim Cross with us now to talk about Panther basketball and football. And anything else he wants to talk about with Panthers?
Anything else.
Yeah.
And anything not just Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah, you can talk about anything else. You want to talk about Christmas for a minute? We can talk about Christmas. We can talk about...
Man, as a preacher, I've never had anybody say I can talk about anything I want to talk about.
Well, we are going to cut you off in 2 minutes.
I guess I've never... I don't know. What's your favorite... What's your NFL team, Jim Cross?
Of course, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan with Monterey Brown.
Okay,
there you go.
All right. Well, we move on. We got very important things to talk about.
We do.
Panthers basketball.
Well, I tell you what, fellas, Friday night was a great night. We traveled to Genoa, and the girls were 1-0 going into the conference season, and they won by 1 point. It was a nail-biter, and Zamaria Roan had a fantastic game. She had 18 points. Excuse me, 22 points. And she was just lights out from three-pointers. And Caitlin Jones pitched in with 14, and LaKenya Williams had 12. And it was a nip-and-tuck game most of the game. But we had a 4 or 5-point lead at the end of the game. And just to make things interesting, we thought we'd miss a couple free throws at the end just to, you know, just to kind of make it a 1-point game. So, but it was a great victory for us. So, you know, going into the Christmas break at 2-0 in the conference is a great deal for Coach Jerrica Hubbard and the Pantherettes.
That sounds like y'all had the ladies had a couple close games last week.
Yes, same way with Prescott. It was a nail biter as well. And then the boys, we took it to overtime at Genoa, and then in overtime, led by R.J. Forbes and Antonio McDuffie and Bryson French, outscored the Dragons by 5 and ended up coming away with a 5-point overtime victory on the road. So that evened the Panthers boys at 1-1. Now Prescott was a different animal. Prescott's always pretty good, and they handled us pretty easily, to be honest. But I thought the Genoa game was a huge victory on the road. And because at the end of the day, fellas, everybody's battling against Prescott with the boys, so you're trying to get one of those top four seeds, and you got to feel like beating Genoa on the road, you know, puts us in the right spot at the Christmas break.
Well, you know, Genoa started the season 3-0, and they looked like they could have been one of the better teams in the conference. When they played the Leopards, they were undefeated, and but they've lost a couple of close ones too.
Yeah, they have a post player. I believe his name was Peyton Dix, I think was his name, and he gave us fits. I think he had 26 points, and he was fantastic. And you know, Genoa plays well. But, you know, they're not very. It's not a fast paced deal for them, but they pass the ball around and get it into their post player, and you know, they're pretty salty. So that was a huge win for the Panther boys and Coach James Smith.
Well, I tell you what, you're right to the boys even up their conference record, and the girls be 2-0 in the conference. That's off to a good start.
Yeah, it is, and especially for the boys having that struggle of last year. You know, every victory is, you know, Coach Smith talks to me after the game, and he says, we're trying to learn how to win.
Right.
And when you haven't won, you know, last year they didn't win a game at all. And so to have two victories sounds kind of insignificant to most people, but for them, that's a big deal. And now that, like, the win in overtime, I was really pleased with the way they came out in overtime, because really, Genoa had the momentum at the buzzer, because we had the lead by about 3 or 4 points with about a minute to go, and Genoa hit a three, and we missed a free throw, and they came down and hit a two and tied it up. And you're thinking, oh my, Genoa has all the momentum. And boy, with Bryson French leading the way, came out in overtime and just put it to them.
That's great. It sounds good. Congratulations to them. And also to the Lady Panthers on two victories last week. Y'all are going to play Hampton on the Saturday after Christmas. But before that, who's the Domtar Panther Player of the Week this week?
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm going to give it to Zamaria Roan. She had she really changed the dynamic of the game at Genoa, because LaKenya Williams has kind of been our leading scorer, and she had a slow start. But Z, as I call her, Z Roan, well, she really came out in the first half, had 15 points early, and that kind of got us going until everybody else got settled in. And so I would say she would be the Domtar Player of the Week.
All right. So Zamaria Roan, the Domtar Panther Player of the Week. And what do you see about Hampton on Saturday after Christmas there?
Well, that'll be a good matchup for us. And it'd be interesting to see how we come after Christmas. I know the coaches, you know, that's always kind of a coin flip to see, you know, to see how settled in you come back in. And I think it'll be a good matchup for our team.
Well, you know, I'd read something on Facebook, and I believe Coach Ernest at Derrick's posted it, that 23rd, 24th, and 25th are supposed to be dead. Teams aren't supposed to practice. Facilities aren't supposed to be open, things like that. So these games right after Christmas could be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. I would think the shooting probably wouldn't be what it could be. And so, yeah, I think the coaches know that going in. So I'm sure the expectation is, hey, let's get our legs underneath us and get ready for the conference season.
Sounds good, Jim. We appreciate you so much, everything you do, and look forward to talking to you more about Panther basketball after the new year. Just want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and talk to you soon.
Hey, Merry Christmas, guys. I got one little tidbit I think you guys will enjoy. Zamaria Roan was the Big Gillies Player of the Game Friday. She played so well, and it was her mother's birthday. And I thought, how cool was that?
Yeah, that's really cool. That's
pretty
really
good
cool.
Gift.
Yep, it is. appreciate you, Jim, so much. Look forward to talking to you in the coming year.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Thank Christmas.
You. Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Now we're going to talk about Foreman Gator basketball.
Ooh.
Yeah, Foreman Gators last week. They're 2-9 overall now. They lost to Spring Hill, and then they beat Umpire. So congratulations to them for the win. In the loss, Rylan Johnson had 19 points, 6 rebounds. Landon Shurtleff had 21 points in the Umpire victory. Lady Gators now are 1-10. They beat Umpire 47-35. And Callie Culp and Ashlyn Guthrie, both with 11 points there in that game. They're going to be off for the holiday break, so we'll be talking about them when we come back on the 6th. And they're already playing conference games, but we'll be talking more about more conference games as that goes on. Tony, who you got for the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week this
week?
I'm
going to go with Rylan Johnson. Rylan's had a good year.
Yeah, he sure has.
And we're going to go with him for the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
All right. Rylan Johnson, congratulations for being the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week. And we look forward to talking about the Gators and the Lady Gators in the coming year.
I like it, man. How about them Costot Eagles?
Costot Eagles, man, they are playing well.
They are playing well.
Yeah, they are 8-6. They beat Boonville 47-40. They beat Charleston 67-48.
Wow.
And so two good games there. Just Eagles are really playing well.
Nice.
Lady Eagles having a tough year. They're 0-16. They lost to Boonville by 4.
Nah.
So played them a good game. Boonville always got good teams in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they're 45-41, they're getting there. They're going to get a victory soon. They lost to Charleston to end the week. The Eagles are also off, and they will.
I think are both teams playing Mansfield on Friday?
That's right. Yeah, both teams are playing Mansfield on Friday. I got to text back and forth with Coach Barrett last night. You know, the boys are having a really good year. Mm-hmm. They've beat some good teams, mm-hmm. and they've lost some close games. They're 8-6, but they're better than 8-6. And I think Jeff could probably tell you that, too, from what he's seen of them.
Yeah.
They dominated the Outlaws, and then, you know, one of those six losses I saw them lose to El Dorado. You know, some good El Dorado football.
Yeah, they're just 6A,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, the highest classification. That's right. They are 6A. So, the Eagles are having a great year, and Tony, you got a Union Bank of Mena Eagle Player of the Week?
Well, to the surprise of absolutely no one, our Union Bank Mena Eagle Player of the Week, is going to be Dylan Loving. Dylan's probably won this thing. This may be the third time, so having a great season.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations, Dylan Loving. All right, let's talk about our newest sponsor, but they've been around for a while. It's UA Cossetot. UA Cossetot. www.cccua.edu.
And I want to talk about one thing just for a second, because he covered high school athletics for so many years. Congratulations to Lauren Hinton on his retirement. And we're going to miss you, buddy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Truly a good guy.
He is a good guy.
An OG.
Yeah, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be a hole. He's like a black hole around here, because he just was everywhere.
Doing
all kinds of things. And we appreciate you, and we're going to miss you, man. But on to UA Cossetot and everything they got going.
Yes, UA Cossetot. I want to jump right into their athletics department, because we got a big game coming up. Go to UACossetotColts.com. But they played their last game for the year against Murray State College. Actually, did you get a word if they actually made it to Tishomingo?
They did make it.
They did make it.
They were a little late.
They were a little bit late. But January 6th, which is the next day we will be recording, is also a day you might want to go and support UA Cossetot Colts, because they are playing last year's national champions, excuse me. It's National Park College. And they're playing at the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium January 6th at 7:30. That's going to be a game you don't want to miss.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that game.
I might go to that one. Is there any chance that's Greg Grove bobblehead net?
Hey, well, you know, my head did bobble a couple of times when I hit that wall over there. Yeah, I think one of those broken boards is for me.
Yeah, they're going to be playing again at 7:30. That's going to be a great one. Then on January 13th, which is a Monday, ASU Newport in Newport, Arkansas. And then back at the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium on the 16th against North Arkansas College. So lots of games still to be had with the UA Cossetot Colts. Lots of exciting games in Locksburg. So one way you can show support to UA Cossetot is just show up to the games.
That's right.
Cheer it on.
Hey, you know what?
What?
$5.
$5.
Cheapest,
great night.
Cheapest ticket for anywhere around.
And sometimes that $5 gets you multiple games.
Yep.
And it's just great. So UA Cossetot's UACossetotColts.com if you want to follow their athletics department. And you can also donate as well. If you like to donate to the Cossetot Foundation, you can specify that I want these monies to go to the athletics department. And, you know, that will support their basketball, their soccer, and their shooting sports. So sports all year round. Plus programs of study, you know, we can get into all that, but I really wanted to focus on the athletics today. Your employer resources, state scholarships and grants for study, their facility rentals. There's so much to talk about Cossetot, UA Cossetot on any given day.
Just one more thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're in Christmas now, the spring semester fixing to start. You can do everything you need to do online at UA Cossetot.
You don't need to bother with anything but www.cccua.edu.
I want to go back to that game on the 6th.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Against National Park. I realize Cossetot is the local team here. So go support your local team. But that National Park team last year had several local flavor players on it. There was a kid from Cossetot River played on it. Cutter Morning Star that was in our conference when that kid played a few years ago against us.
Will Dykes.
They went somewhere else.
Is that right?
Leopard legend.
Nice. Legend, yeah.
So, you know, you'll get to see some kids play college ball that you watch play around here in the gyms. So,
fantastic.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Yep. All right, go support the Cossetot Colts January 6th at the historic Bank of Locksburg Gymnasium, and we appreciate them so much for sponsoring this podcast.
And now we're going to talk about Outlaw basketball with Jeff Tuttle,
who hasn't been here the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, they it sounds like we should introduce him like Ed McMahon used to introduce Johnny Costin.
Oh, you know.
Here's Jeff.
Yeah. back from his
da, 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 da.
back from his carpet bombing from earlier.
made it sound like I had fleas in my head. See, that one worked.
Yeah. Hey, you got to be paying attention, man. That was on me, not you.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. We got cold medicine in him.
Yeah. So what about the Outlaws, Jeff? A couple of games. Talk about the Lady Outlaws first, if you want to. They're 9-2. Last week.
Hosted Horatio conference play last week. Outlaws came out on top, 54-39. They had a, I would think, a significantly, I tried to say that, larger lead than that.
Bigger
lead than
there
that.
There you go.
And things got interesting in the second half with good reason. I mean, officials got scrutinized. I managed to say that. They also got colorized in the commentary.
Yeah.
A coach ejected.
Wow. Typical Derek's Horatio game.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't blame him. For what happened, and you hate to see anything like that happen, but, you know, and they were pulling within. They had it down to about 10 points when all that took place, and then Outlaws went on a little run and ended up winning by 15 points, but it was a good win for the Lady Outlaws.
You know why coaches get ejected in basketball games? There's no dirt to kick. You know?
Well, a lot easier to hear what they say from the stands.
What Greg and I have seen, I think, is we've seen coaches say the very same thing, but one will say it very discreetly as a coach is just kind of maybe running by.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get more demonstrative, big word, the more apt you are to get a technical. Showing them up, I guess, is what you'd say.
Well, and there's a lot of times when coaches want a technical. They ask for it, and they give it to them.
They want that one. They don't want the second one. They don't want to have to leave the team. But
mm-hmm. I think in this case, this is a different scenario. This is a case based on what Jeff told me, I'm going based on what he told me, and
all what I heard of Pruitt.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't know Jeff is a liar.
So,
yeah. Could we cut that?
Yeah. But
his mom listens to this.
You know, based on what we can conclude from all the evidence that we have gathered, mm-hmm. Which is nothing.
In just our bunch extensive of hearsay investigation.
yeah.
We've got Columbo on it.
Yeah. But based on what we see, it was probably a referee error that caused the Blake Alexander to get kicked out as the coach of the Lady Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the thing about that is that happens. I think that that being said, still a 15-point victory for the Lady Outlaws. And, both the Lady Outlaws and the Lady Lions, and I know we're talking about Outlaws right now, but they both are good young basketball teams. Got a lot to look forward to in the next couple of years, I think.
Well, we couldn't believe it. You and I exchanged the score back and forth Friday night. Beat Mina 56-12.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mina used to be a really good girls basketball program.
I don't know what happened there. Did they not bring their team?
Jeff's got one word.
Volleyball.
I think that's true, too.
Wow.
Yep.
Hey, real quick, just to touch on that one more time, and we'll be finished with the whole officiating and the coach deal against Horatio. The official even came over to the scores table afterwards and said, I was wrong. I made a mistake and shouldn't have made the call that I made. And my answer, and I even told him, I said, if you're going to own up to it, you got to take the butt chewing you have coming from the guy that you affected with that decision. Right. I mean, you don't get mad at him and throw him out because you were wrong.
Right.
But that's enough on that. But
that's fair.
I mean, scoring-wise for the Lady Outlaws in that ball game, I know y'all never guess who led that Lady Outlaws in scoring. Addison Hill.
Ah.
Sorry, I beat you to it. She had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 steals. Miley Harrison had 15 points, 2 rebounds. Lily Hogg had a good night and really gave the Outlaws a boost to put them in that lead when they really needed it. with 13 points, one steal, and five rebounds. Lots of contributions from Aspen Pugh, Riley Walston, Hannah Kirby, Gracie Thigpen. You know, the whole team contributes. And unfortunately, you already touched on the MENA game Friday night. I was a little under the weather, or as Coach Ernest thinks, watching the college football playoff.
Well, if you wasn't before you started watching the college football playoff, you were after you started watching it. But we'll get to that in a little bit.
I have no stats for the Lady Outlaws for that game. So, but, you know, they had a good Tuesday night. We move on to the Outlaws now. They defeated Horatio 65-31 on Tuesday night and were led in scoring by Jordan Hill. He done the same thing that the Lady Lion done against the Outlaws. He knocked down 6 3-pointers for his 18 points. He had 1 rebound and 2 assists to go along with it. Dylan Moore had 15 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal. And then I did manage to get some stats. You know, I talked to the coaches about the game just to see who their players were for Friday night. And Dylan Moore scored 19 points on Friday night against the MENA team. So he had 15 on Tuesday, 19 on Friday points. I'm not sure what else he had to go along with that. But so, you know, the Outlaws, they're chipping away. Well, 6-7, is that their record right now? You know,
yep, yes.
It seems like they win one and lose one. And Coach Chisholm, he was disappointed with that 48-44 loss. I mean, and I know you want to win them all, but he thought that's one they really should have got against MENA Friday night. So I'm going to go off of last week's performance with our Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. We're going to go with Jordan Hill and his 6 point or 6 3-point performance for 18 points on Tuesday night. And I'm not sure what he added to that on Friday night. But before those listeners turn off the radio, like I always do, Dylan Moore's parents might want to keep listening to the podcast.
Nice.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, another thing about Jordan Hill, real quick, guys. He is.
What can we say about Jordan Hill that we haven't already said in the last 2 years?
He's been offered by Louisiana College University in Pineville, Louisiana, coached by a former Outlaw. Man, I wrote down a bunch of Ben McLaughlin stuff. That's something to go over on a different podcast. But if y'all hadn't ever looked him up and his numbers on Wikipedia, it's worth it. You know, he was the runner-up to the Gagliardi Finalist Trophy, which is a Division III Heisman. He finished second in the voting.
That's great.
He won the Mel Berger Award National Player of the Year. And he's also inducted on his first year eligible to the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. You know, he's done some amazing things, and now he's the head coach at his alma mater. And he's reached out to some Outlaws in the past, you know, and sometimes they stick around, sometimes they don't. But Jordan Hill's got the work ethic to do whatever he wants to do in life.
That is really cool.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. And just so you know, Ben McLaughlin got all his athletic ability from his mother, not from Jimmy. So just had to mention that real quick. I love you, Jimmy. And being a great athlete, a great ambassador for the Outlaws, and doing a great job down in Louisiana.
That's right. Both teams off for the holiday break.
Well, on my schedule, I have them both playing in the Lafayette County tournament. Oh. Starts on like the 27th.
Oh, okay.
Or 27th, 28th, 29th, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't confirmed that. Like I say, last Tuesday's the last contact with I had with the outside world until today. So, but, you know, I mentioned all the girls on the team there. You also have to mention for the Outlaws, they get good minutes from Peyton Beckman, Colton Gadberry, Ben Ernest, and Hunter Glasgow. You know, they're giving them good minutes right now. And those girls, they could use a break. Riley Simmons has been banged up, you know, and they'll get her back healthy. And two tournaments, as a matter of fact, is what they have showing up on their schedule, the one at Lafayette County, and then they go to Rosebud, wherever that might be.
I'm out.
There's an old movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Named Rosebud. Yeah.
Something like that. It's named something like that.
Yeah. So Coach Ernest still doing stats for you? He getting the receiving yards right?
He gets some of it right. They've already told him I've gave him a hard time on the podcast. So.
Sorry, Coach.
Yeah. So, Jeff, anything else, Outlaw?
Kind of.
If not, I know you got something else you want to mention.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was going to go into, but it kind of revolves around what we do here, and I know y'all kind of brought me into this.
Which is nothing. I mean, we don't do anything here.
Well, the kids.
Oh, I see.
The kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I know y'all kind of just brought me into this, and I'm like that pesky fly that you have this fly swatter out here for that won't go away. I mean, and y'all don't know how much I appreciate it, how much I've enjoyed it. And when I started doing this with y'all, I mean, this is like therapy to me. And we all know I need therapy.
Yeah.
But I was in a pretty tough spot, and you guys came through clutch for me. And I think of y'all as really good friends. And I don't know, I told them during the break, Tyler, I might get emotional talking, and you might have to edit the whole thing out. But talking about it being about the kids, you know, these kids that we talk about, we got a lot of good kids out there.
We do.
We talk about the coaches. We have men and women leading these kids that they might not be leading them to Christ. They're giving them the opportunity to get there and see what it's about, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this will air on New Year, Christmas Eve. Is that when it'll air?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there, Christmas Eve, and that is the 1 year anniversary for me of the day that I got baptized. And you guys had more to do with that than you'll ever know. Wow. And, you know, I have that date tattooed on my arm.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you could see it right now because it's hot in here. I wish I didn't have this long sleeve shirt on.
Amen.
Hey, I'm sorry. I really didn't even know where I was going to go with this, what I was going to say.
Well, man, it means a lot.
It was just kind of put on me last night to mention it, and this is the place to do it. And we were talking about kids wearing numbers because of people they look up to. I talked about wearing a number because of somebody I looked up to. These kids that we talk about, hey, there's kids looking up to y'all. I mean, do it right for them because you never know what they're thinking about y'all.
Always somebody watching.
And it means a lot. And I just want to say there may not anybody buy me a Christmas present this year. I had the best Christmas present ever a year ago, the day I was baptized. I know where I'll spend eternity. And
praise God.
I just want everybody else to know that, and not about me, know where you're going to. I mean, thank you guys for letting me speak a little piece right there, and I love every one of you.
Love you too, brother.
Yeah, we love you too, and you know what? I don't know what our idea was when we started this. But
I think we started with the Seinfeld concept.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I do know one thing. This thing would not be what it is without you, Jeff. And we appreciate you and everything that you mean, not only to this show but to us personally.
Did the college Bowls games go that bad over the weekend? Is that what
there's a lot of reflection going on this side of room, Tyler, is what I'm saying.
Wow. Are we done? Is this it?
We're not going. Hey, that's the end of the show, man.
The bad thing about our world is there's a lot of stuff out there. If you do what I just done, they would cancel you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate you and what you said, and we're behind you 100%.
100%.
Yes.
100%.
So we're pretty much done talking about high school for the week. We got a couple other things to talk about.
We got some awards to give out.
We do have some awards to give out first. You're right.
That's exactly right.
You're right.
So who's going to be the girls player of the week for this week, Tony?
The Toe Thumper Lures ladies player of the week is going to be Paige Williamson from the Horatio Lady Lions. And that's not a name that you've that's not the first time you've heard it, and nor it will be the last time you hear it.
No, it just misses consistency.
She is. That's exactly right.
Actually, miss consistency. Excuse me.
Our Horatio State Bank Boys Player of the Week's going to be Dylan Moore, as Jeff kept Dylan's parents on the hook. From the Dirks Outlaws.
So radios congratulations click off to, around the world.
Yeah, well, hold up.
Hold on.
One more. We got one more coming.
Yeah. And the Adderose Designs player of the area is going to be Dylan Loving from the Causatot River Eagles. He's had a great year. They're having a great year. And Dylan, there'll be a shirt headed up your way as soon as we get somebody going north.
Mm. Yep.
Nice.
I want to mention this just quickly because sometimes things get out of order, and I don't know if you noticed, I posted two different pictures of two different players of the area for two different weeks getting shirts basically on the same day, and that's my fault.
Well, it's not your fault. It's just the way it's got to be done sometimes because we're not everywhere at once.
Yeah, and it takes, I just happened to be somewhere for last week's player of the area and the week before's player of the area. I forgot to give the shirt to Tuttle so he could do it. So then I had to go through her grandmother and get it done. And her grandmother wasn't there, but the person that lived next door to her was. So she took it to her. You know what?
Whatever it takes.
It takes a village.
That's exactly
that's right.
Right.
Can we get just one other guy to do this? Like,
what is it? It's seven stages from Kevin Bacon or something?
Yeah, that's right. You always are.
6 degrees.
Six degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Does the Swan's truck not go through Derek's or what?
I don't know. I hadn't seen a Swan's truck in a while.
But seven stages of Kevin Bacon really rhymes, and that works better.
Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah, yeah. He messed up, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, we appreciate all y'all and everything you do, but that congratulations to Dylan Loving for being the Adderose Designs Player of the Area this week, and we'll get you your shirt and get all a picture of you on the Facebook page. Now, I tell you what I want to talk about.
What do you want to talk about?
Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
They won.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah. At least they won.
Well, Pilgrim?
Yeah. At least they won. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know.
That's enough talk about them because they mean nothing anymore. They're out of the possibility for the playoffs. And
they played hard last night for some reason. I don't know why it is. Now, are they trying to save McCarthy's job? But they did. I thought they played hard last night. I thought they played as hard as they played all season.
I mean, I thought when they caused the fumble and recovered at the end of the game, they were basically beat.
Yeah.
When they done that, I thought.
Yeah.
But
They hadn't stopped him a couple of times before that. That's for sure. Yep. But they did what was necessary, and they won the game. And talking about a lot of other, looking at the playoffs are starting to develop now. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that next week, and if we see a couple of more games will be played by the time we get there.
Yeah, we'll be ready to move on to pros in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So Arkansas basketball. They played UCA or somebody. Heck.
Something.
They won, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I can't even remember who they played.
Yeah.
They were meant to win that one.
The last game I know they played UCA.
Yeah.
Then they're going to play – no, they played North Carolina A&T.
Yeah.
Mm. That's right. They did Saturday. Mm-hmm. They played them and destroyed them. So, next game's going to be against somebody on the 30th. So, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
College football bowl games, Tony. Jeff and I are doing really well in our picks. I'm not going to follow him anymore because he influences me. So,
let what I said earlier influence you, Greg.
Tyler, if you can insert a drum roll for you before we put this on the podcast. I'm 10-1 after 11 games.
Yeah.
Tyler's 8-3.
Oh.
Greg is 6-5, and Jeff is 6-5.
6-5?
Yeah, there's 40 more bowl games to go.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, nothing's clinched yet, I'm going to tell you that. Yeah, but
I figure we'd pick a lot of them.
The picks of Tennessee, SMU, and Indiana really hurt you guys.
Mm. Yeah, you got to try something, though.
Yeah.
No fun if we all pick the same teams, right?
Okay.
I got to have some justification.
It's no fun for someone.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll get through these really quick because we've got to pick a bunch, and then we will pick probably via text the rest of the bowl game since we don't meet next week. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So the Myrtle Beach Bowl is the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who have a home field advantage versus the University of Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. Greg and I got to see the Roadrunners last year mm-hmm. in the bowl game. And the Roadrunners are 8.5-point favorites.
I'm taking them.
Me too.
Roadrunners.
Me too.
Unanimous.
And in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, they're running out of names. Northern Illinois, who's the team that upset Notre Dame.
That was their bowl game.
Yep. Is playing Fresno State. Northern Illinois is a 3-point favorite.
Oh, I'm going Illinois.
Fresno.
And that's in Boise?
Yes.
Whew, it's going to be cold up there.
It is.
Let's see. Fresno.
Turf will probably turn blue.
I think I'll take Northern Illinois on that one.
All right. We're split down the middle on that one.
Mm. You go Fresno?
Yeah.
Because of John Fogarty? He's going there.
I agree with Jeff. Maybe that was their bowl game when they beat Notre Dame. Hawaii Bowl. The weather won't be a problem there. South Florida versus San Jose State. San Jose State's a 5-point favorite.
I'm going Florida.
All right. San Jose State.
Okay.
Me too.
Tyler, you're on your own.
No, you guys are going to regret that.
The Game Above Sports Bowl. It's
the what?
Game Above Sports Bowl.
They added like three.
I think it's the old Motor City Bowl in Detroit. Pitt versus Toledo, and Pitt is a 7-point favorite.
Pitt.
Well, I just can't imagine Pitt would be excited to be in that game.
Nope.
Well, and there's always a few of these that look so obvious that are upsets. I mean,
I'm going to pick Toledo. I'm going to blow my lead all right here. Mm. The Rate Bowl, Rutgers and Kansas State. Kansas State's a 7-point favorite.
Kansas State.
I'm going Rutgers.
Trying to keep that lead out there.
You mm-hmm. have a you have something in your heart for New Jersey?
Yeah, I do. I've been watching a lot of Sopranos. Hey, Jackie, how's Rutgers?
The 68 Ventures Bowl. Our home state, Arkansas State Red Wolves against Bowling Green. Bowling Green's a 7-point favorite.
Mm. Where is that bowl?
I imagine it's somewhere in the South.
I think it's in Washington State.
I'm going with Bowling Green.
Yeah, me too.
My head tells me Bowling Green, but my heart tells me I'm going to get a game on y'all with Arkansas State right here.
Mm.
All right. There you go. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. We're starting to get in some bigger names. It's Oklahoma versus the Navy. Oklahoma's a 7.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
I'll jump on those midshipmen.
All right. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going Oklahoma.
Okay.
I'm going to go Oklahoma, too.
Mm. I'm going to go Navy.
Hmm.
The Birmingham Bowl. That's in Birmingham.
Okay.
Georgia Tech.
You sure?
Yeah. Versus Vanderbilt. Georgia Tech is a 2.5-point favorite.
Hmm. Vanderbilt.
Georgia.
Ramblin' Rick.
I'm by myself, aren't I?
Yeah.
Doing.
The AutoZone Liberty Bowl is Texas Tech versus those Arkansas Razorbacks. The Razorbacks are a 1-point favorite.
Got to take Arkansas.
Yeah.
Arkansas.
Tony will take Texas Tech.
What's Tony putting? Whoa! Takes Texas Tech.
Arkansas has been really hit by the portal.
Oh, yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
DirecTV Holiday Bowl. Syracuse.
I guess you have Dish, because they don't let you watch it.
Yeah, if you have Dish, you can't watch the Holiday Bowl.
Where's the Pinkberry Bowl? All right.
It's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, the Syracuse and Washington State. Syracuse is an 11-point favorite.
Yeah, Syracuse.
Somebody knows something.
Yep, Syracuse.
Syracuse. They play way better basketball in there than Washington.
The Las Vegas Bowl, USC versus Texas A&M. A&M is a 3.5.
A&M.
A&M.
USC.
One A&M. The Fenway Bowl, it's in Boston. UConn versus North Carolina. Mm. North Carolina is a 2.5-point favorite.
UConn.
Their head coach.
Yeah, and they've been decimated by the transfer.
UConn.
Too.
I'm going North Carolina, though.
Okay.
UConn as well.
We'll split that one down the middle.
Yep.
The Bad Boy Motors Pinstripe Bowl, Boston College versus Nebraska. That's in Yankee Stadium.
Named after me.
And it Nebraska's a 2.5-point favorite.
I'm going Boston.
Boston College.
Have to.
Hmm. Yeah, BC.
Tony remains righteous with Nebraska.
The New Mexico Bowl, Louisiana versus Texas Christian. Texas Christian is a 13-point favorite.
Wow. TCU.
After my spiel earlier, you don't go against a Christian school. TCU.
Man, that's a big favorite.
I would remind you, Tyler, Marshall just beat Louisiana in the Sun Belt Championship 34-3. And Marshall had to withdraw from the bowls.
Oh, man. TCU.
All right.
Fine. Fine.
The Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Oh, great.
This might be the best matchup out there.
I'm taking Snap.
Yeah. It's Rice Krispies.
That's it. The joke still hits, though. Sorry, Jeff.
It's gold, Jerry. Yeah. Iowa State versus Miami. Miami's a 4-point favorite.
They pop and they tart. They're tart.
Canes.
Oh, man.
Miami.
Yes, Miami.
Okay, all of us are going Miami.
Yeah.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Okay.
Miami, Ohio versus Colorado State. Miami, Ohio is a 3-point favorite.
It's got to be Colorado State. They're used to the smell. No. Miami of Ohio is a 3-point favorite?
Yes.
Big Ben got a win for me last year when I picked him, so I'm going with him again.
Yeah, I'm going Colorado for the D-O-double-G.
I think I'll take Colorado State.
Mm.
Well, we split that one down the middle.
We'll have to get together for that one, Greg.
Yeah.
The Go Bowling Military Bowl. East Carolina versus North Carolina State. These two teams do not like each other.
No, I bet
North Carolina State
is a 5-point favorite.
I'm going
favorite.
NC.
North Carolina State.
Yes, sir.
Greg, Tyler, I'm going East Carolina.
Okay.
I knew you would.
The Valero Alamo Bowl, Brigham Young versus Colorado. Colorado's a 3-point favorite. That's two teams from the same conference playing each other in a bowl game.
That's going to be a good game.
This is broke. Do what?
That's going to be a good game, though.
Yeah.
And Hunter and them they're playing, ain't they?
I think so.
Yeah, they're all playing.
That's one thing I like about that.
Yeah.
I'm going Colorado.
BYU. BYU.
Okay.
Now,
yep.
Colorado. BYU won't beat them the last time they played, right?
Right.
Yep.
Who are you going with?
Yeah, you tell me that after.
You can repeat. No, we're not done.
No way.
One more, and then we got the playoffs. The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl, which is the bowl Marshall was supposed to play in.
Army.
I know, man. That just breaks my heart. Army. I can't. Louisiana Tech versus the Army. Army is a 16.5-point favorite.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd go with Louisiana Tech because it's close.
Yeah, I'm going Louisiana Tech.
Everybody else going Army?
Army's too focused on, fighting and stuff.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Army could be in disarray. They were, first of all, they were disappointed that they didn't get any consideration for the college football playoff. Then they were disappointed that they got Marshall as a bowl opponent. Then they were disappointed that Navy beat them. And now they're disappointed they're playing Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
So a lot of disappointment there to overcome for the Army. So.
Yeah. Yep. Louisiana's got that one. No problem.
You didn't talk me out of it.
All right. No problem. You sure?
I'm sure.
All right.
So you took Louisiana Tech.
No.
He's not crazy enough to.
Are you kidding me?
See, I'm the wild card. I shoot from the hip, Greg.
We have the Iowa, Missouri.
Is Iowa and Missouri? Is,
it was next on my list.
Well, but that's one that we would pick
next week.
Next week. By text, because that's on a Monday.
Yeah. Okay. We don't want to put
we people just got through next weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't want to put people through another 10 minutes of that.
All right. Now the playoff games, the ones that really matter.
Yes.
Texas and Arizona State in the Peach Bowl.
Texas.
Did we give the stats on who did well on this already?
Well, Texas blew Clemson. All these were blowouts. Texas blew Clemson out.
I mean, Arizona, like our picks.
Oh, our picks, yeah. Well, this included.
That included
gotcha. The playoff games, yes. Anybody picking against Texas after watching them blow out Clemson?
I am.
Are you picking Arizona State?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he lived in Arizona.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you beat us all on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and then Ohio State trounced Tennessee, and now they play Oregon, and that might be the best game. I hate to say that, but
where is that? Which bowl are they?
That is in the Rose Bowl in California.
Mm-hmm. I'll take Oregon.
Yeah, I'm rolling Ohio.
Okay, Greg's taking Oregon. I'm taking Oregon.
All
right.
Ohio State looked good the other day, though.
Penn State blew out SMU. Now they get Boise in the Fiesta Bowl, which is played in Arizona. I've got to go with Boise.
Penn State.
I'll take Penn State too.
I'm taking Penn State.
I need to pick up one on you.
Yeah.
And then the Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame and Georgia.
Georgia.
Anybody picking Notre Dame?
I am.
I'll take them.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm the same way. I'm gonna have to find a game somewhere here and there. So.
All right. Well, we'll see how this all shakes out. But
I just don't want them to win. I pick Texas and I hate them. I hate Notre Dame. I can't pick two. I hate. it's not actually logical thing. It's more of an emotional thing for me.
Well, before we sign off, Ricky Henderson passed this week, and the best leadoff hitter of all time.
Mm-hmm.
More leadoff home runs than to start a ball game than any
81. Yeah. Wasn't that the number?
Yeah, something like that. That's crazy. Something crazy. See, just too young, 65. I mean, I'm 60. 65 just seems very young.
I'm barely 65.
I've posted a thing or two about him on Facebook the last few days because, and this kind of goes full circle. I meant to confirm this with my brother, but I'm 90-something percent sure he wore number 24 because of Ricky Henderson. It just kind of goes to talking about people looking up to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I've posted several things, and I had a little thing that I read last night that I wanted to read y'all about Ricky Henderson because he was enamored with Ricky Henderson.
Oh, he was?
You know. They talk about he always talked in the third person. It was Ricky done this or Ricky done that.
Mm-hmm.
But I seen a deal last night that said when Ricky Henderson played for the Mariners in 2000, he noticed first baseman John Olerud wore a helmet while playing in the field instead of a cap. Ricky told him, "I played with a guy on the Mets last year that did that too." Olerud replied, "That was me, Ricky. We were teammates on the Mets last year."
Well, when he broke the stolen base record, Lou Brock was there. And right in front of Lou Brock, he said, "Lou Brock was the greatest. Now I'm the greatest."
Yeah.
Right with Lou Brock standing next to him.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Ricky thought plenty of himself, but still way too young to die, and a great baseball player.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, a stolen base record will never be.
No.
I think
not
I
unless
saw,
baseball turns around and goes back to small ball.
Well, I mean, they had to change a rule to do something, but I think one of the stats I saw last night said you would have to steal, somebody would have to steal 60 bases a year for 20 years to get his record. And I mean,
there's teams that don't steal 60 bases a year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the guy this year, the 50-50 club.
Ohani.
Was he not the leading base stealer this year?
I would be shocked if he was.
With 50-something stolen bases. I mean, 100 plus is just, to start with, you got to get on base that many times, and a lot of them don't do it this day and age.
That player and Ricky was not that player, but a lot of teams used to have a guy, that was their job, to walk, bunt, whatever they did on base, and they were like, you know, the Cardinals always had one, and the Pirates when they had Omar Moreno, a jackrabbit at the top of the lineup who would turn a walk into a triple.
Yeah.
And those guys, they're not there anymore.
Oh, they don't even try it.
No.
I mean, if your leadoff hitter gets on, then they're still trying to knock it out of the park.
That's exactly right.
They don't
right.
try to get the guy over to second base where he can score.
Yeah. I mean, I liked Hayes when he was there, but it was because, you know, I was young and they kind of forced the A's on you at that time with McGuire, Canseco, Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing several that I should be thinking of right now.
Raleigh Fingers. Heckersley. Yeah.
But in a trivial note about all that, Ricky Henderson is the reason I saved up money to buy my first pair of Oakleys.
Oh.
So I thought they were the coolest thing ever. I still waste a lot of money on them to this day.
Thanks, Ricky.
I thought maybe you still had the first pair.
No, I don't even know where the last pair I bought is. Actually, I do. I left them in Spud's truck.
They're gone.
They will be reclaimed.
Maybe he'll give them to you for Christmas. Hey, well, anything else, guys, before we take off?
No, just Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas, and I want everybody to remember what Christmas is about.
Okay.
And make sure and spread the word.
That's right.
I hope you all have a good one.
Yeah. And until a couple of weeks from now, as we take 1 week off, we just want to wish y'all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and thank you to everybody that makes it possible for us to put this on. If it wasn't for the kids, we couldn't do it. We appreciate them so much and allowing us to talk about them and everybody that helps us get that information out. Merry Christmas, and see you in 2 weeks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.